Can you handle the heat of hot peppers, that is? It's peak pepper season in Wisconsin. Today on Food Friday, we're talking about all kinds of peppers. Mild, sweet, hot, you name it. We'll learn more about the spice levels and get some ideas on how to use them all. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What is your favorite type of pepper? How do you like to use them in your cooking? Is there a pepper you think people should eat more of? Or do you have a question about what to do with your bountiful crop in your garden or local farmer's market? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Katrina Becker is the owner of Cattail Organics, a 50-acre organic farm located in the northwest corner of Marathon County, serving areas like Wausau and Stevens Point. She's a commercial grower of peppers and has been involved with a variety of pepper breeding studies with UW-Madison. Kat, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Is this now the height of pepper season in Wisconsin? This is when they're coming fast and furious?
Yeah, I would declare that probably from the second to last week of August through the end of September in the southern part of the state, and unfortunately up north here, probably the last week in August through the second week in September, our peak pepper season. So we don't have a long pepper season here in Wisconsin, but this is definitely the time to enjoy it.
Now, you are heavily involved in peppers, growing them and helping research them and things like that. What is it that you like about peppers?
Well, I have to say, I am a fan of spicy food, so I do enjoy hot peppers, and I actually enjoy the milder hot peppers like poblanos and Anaheims the best, as well as sweet peppers. So I'm sure we'll have some questions about green peppers, but green peppers are actually just unripe peppers, so those tend to be my least favorite, but I do really enjoy the broad spectrum of all the spicy and sweet peppers we have.
What are your favorite things to do with those, I guess, mid-grade peppers, those poblanos that have some heat to them, but they're not, you know, acts of courage just to place them near your mouth?
Yeah, so for poblanos or Anaheim peppers, we really like to roast them, fire roast them. I know there's some instructions on your guys' website that I sent over for doing that and on your stove or grill. And then we like to stuff them. And so we could stuff them with meat or rice or quinoa or other vegetables. And then I think most famously with poblano peppers is chili rellenos, which are chili or those peppers that are stuffed with cheese and then breaded and fried. So, I mean, those are my favorite ways to eat them, as well as just in salsa, because they're less spicy. You can use way more of them in salsa than you would some of the very hot peppers.
You mentioned fire roasting peppers. You sent us a link to a recipe on how to do that. Can you talk us through the basics of making good homemade fire roasted peppers?
Yeah, so there are three main techniques for doing this. The easiest one, especially at this time of year, Wisconsinites love to grill. And so doing it over a hot charcoal grill is probably the easiest way. You get it hot like you would for brats or any meat or vegetables. And then you just can lightly toss the peppers with a little bit of olive oil if you'd like. And then you're just leaving them on the grill till you see like a char on the skin and rotating them. And then you can pull them off. You can kind of slough off the skin if you want to. We also enjoy them with the skin. The two other ways you can make them are in the oven using a broiler. So very similar. You're using a hot temperature, keeping the peppers pretty close. Definitely you want some ventilation fans on if you're using hot peppers in an oven, because you're gonna have to open it up and rotate them. And then the third pretty easy method is to do it over, if you have a gas range, you can kind of put it right on top of the gas range using tongs and rotate it. And so you're basically doing it over the flame like you would outside on a gas grill or something like that.
It's Food Friday. We're talking about peppers, sweet and hot, and what to do with them with Katrina Becker from Cattail Organics. She grows lots of peppers, helps research them too. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a pepper question about growing, cooking, eating peppers? Or do you have a favorite kind of pepper to share or a favorite recipe? 800-642-1234 is the number. Let's go to your calls now. Charlie is with us in Milwaukee. Charlie, hi. Charlie, are you there? Oh, not getting Charlie. Let's try Lois then in Onalaska. Lois, hi.
Hi.
Hi. Would you want to tell us about Lois?
Well, I love habanero peppers, but they're very, very strong or spicy. But I use one half cut up very finely in all of my chili and my barbecues I make, and it gives it just the right heat.
And I got to ask, do you keep the seeds in or do you take the seeds out of the recipe?
I take the seeds out.
Lois, thank you so much for sharing that with us. Katrina, a little bit of a hot pepper like a habanero can go a long way, right?
Absolutely. And something that I like to tell people now, especially people that are big habanero fans, because the flavor of a habanero is just fruity and delicious, but they're so spicy that often you don't want to add a lot to a recipe, is that if you are a gardener, or you can also look at the farmer's market, there are some heatless or low heat habaneros now available. There's a variety called Habanada, and then there's another variety called the Numix Suave Orange. And both of those are less spicy habaneros. And so you can enjoy some of the flavor and use more of them than you might be able to. Otherwise, if you're a super hot fan, obviously habaneros are delicious and fruity, but very spicy.
Lois, thanks a lot for that call. I want to talk a little bit about growing peppers a little bit, Kat. And I know different varieties of peppers. Obviously, one's going to be hotter than another. But within that, are there things we can do when we're growing them to make a particular kind of pepper hotter or less hot?
So unfortunately, how hot the peppers are is going to be out of our control as gardeners for the most part. But with peppers, there's the genetic component of what makes them spicy. So like we know habaneros are spicier than jalapenos. But in a given year, you might have really spicy habaneros one year and less spicy another. People often notice that with more mild peppers like poblanos or jalapenos. They'll be like, wow, I used to be able to eat jalapenos, but this year they're too spicy for my garden. And that's an environmental factor that's impacting them. And so it actually is something that you won't be able to control, unfortunately, on a garden to garden level. But it is one of the reasons you would notice some of the variation in hot peppers.
And for basics of growing our own peppers, obviously, we're a little past planting season for peppers this year. But what are the keys? What are we looking for? I think of you got to have a lot of sun. What else do we need to know?
Yeah, so peppers really do like full sun and they do like heat, although you can very successfully grow peppers in Wisconsin. I mean, for gardeners, I almost always recommend if you're able to buy your seedlings, buying big, nice pepper seedlings can get you really far ahead and let you have a longer pepper season, unless you have a really ideal setup in your house. Growing your own pepper seedlings sometimes leads to spindly or small or not big enough seedlings. The other things are that you don't really want to over fertilize peppers. So a lot of people will, I've heard actually on the Larry Mueller show, people call in and be like, my peppers aren't producing. Often that is because people are putting in so much nitrogen that the plants are just producing vegetative or leaf growth and not putting on fruit. So peppers actually don't need a super rich soil. They do need like a balanced, nice balanced compost or something. And then the other thing about peppers is they can be grown in the ground, but also they are happy to live in pots. And there are many varieties that do very well in pots. So they're an ideal patio plant.
Let's go back to our callers now at 800-642-1234. David is with us in Madison. David, hi.
Hi. How are you?
Good. What'd you want to tell us about, David?
I just want to share a recipe for appetizer with green bell pepper.
And what else with the green bell pepper?
So just basically potato and beef. If you want, you can put pork, chicken, or any kind of protein.
David, thanks a lot for that call. So frying up those peppers with beef or other meats. And I think of like, you know, a Philly cheesesteak. One of the keys there is those bell peppers. Katrina, any favorite pepper and meat combos in your mind?
Oh, well, I mean, I think there's a very classic Midwestern stuffed pepper that involves kind of a tomato base and rice and beef, ground beef. And that's a great one. Obviously, peppers really pair well with most proteins. So they do well with shredded chicken. They do great with pork, with steak, with venison if you're a hunter and also with fish, and as well as obviously non-meat proteins. So, I mean, peppers are super versatile in that way. I would say for, you know, frying up peppers, if you are not a gardener or if you don't have your peppers set aside for the year already, the Italian frying peppers are some of the best that are really in peak season right now. There's a variety called Carmen that many farmers have by name at the farmer's market. That's a great one. That's good for stuffing, but also wonderful for using in like sautés or pan frying with meats.
Thanks, David, for that call. We're talking to Kat Becker, owner and operator of Cattail Organics in Athens in Marathon County. It's Food Friday. We're talking about growing, eating, cooking with all manner of peppers, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you tried different kinds of peppers in your garden or maybe at the farmer's market? Do you have a standby recipe? Do you have a question for our guest on what to do with the peppers maybe in your own garden? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation. Check out another recipe coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our Food Friday talk with Kat Becker. She owns and operates a 50-acre organic farm in Marathon County called Cattail Organics. She's teaching us about peppers. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your favorites, your garden stories, your recipes, and more. 800-642-1234. Kat, before we go back to our callers, I want to check out a recipe you shared with us. We've got it at WPR.org/Food Friday. This is a sauce. It's a sheet pan sweet pepper and tomato sauce spread. So we use up some of our tomatoes too. Yeah. What do we need for this?
So this is one of my most favorite super simple ways to enjoy all of the ripe peppers and tomatoes that we're surrounded by at this time of year. And if you're a gardener, you're swimming in them. And if you're going to the farmer's market, you're probably buying a lot of them. And if you're in a CSA, then you're probably receiving a lot of them. So I like to do a lot of sheet pan sauces at this time of year. You can use, we like cherry tomatoes. It's like a way to indulge in those sweet cherry tomatoes. So you need a few pints of cherry tomatoes. Otherwise, you can dice up some Roma tomatoes or other heirloom or beefsteak tomatoes. You're going to then toss those. So it's about 2 pounds of tomatoes, 1.5 pounds. Toss them in a little olive oil, about a tablespoon. Lay them out on a baking sheet. And then on a separate sheet, you're gonna take some peppers. So you can use 3 or 4 ripe red peppers. You can throw in some green ones if you want to, and a spicy one if you're a spicy person. And then a big sweet onion, if you can cut that up into strips like you are cutting the peppers as well. And toss that with some olive oil. And then you're gonna be adding a little bit of diced garlic to both of your sheets and some salt, sea salt and pepper. And then you're going to roast them in the oven. And quite honestly, you can roast them at any temperature between 350 and 450. It depends on how close you want to watch them. But you're cooking them for about half an hour or 45 minutes till they start to cook down and caramelize a little bit. And then pull them out of the oven. You can toss them together in a big bowl. If you want more of a traditional tomato sauce texture, you can use an immersion blender or food processor once it's a little bit cooled down to puree it into a chunky sauce or even a much more fine sauce. Otherwise, we just like to use that straight on pastas or rices or as a side dish. And it's also wonderful cool. So you can put it in the refrigerator and then spread it on toast or bread on a hot summer day. It's just a versatile way to kind of celebrate the season.
Find that recipe at WPR.org/Food Friday. Let's go back to your calls now. Janice is with us in Vilas County. Janice, hi.
Oh, good afternoon. I've had ongoing arguments with different relatives. They tell me that red peppers are just overripe green peppers. But then where do the yellow peppers and the orange peppers come from? Are those all a separate variety, or how do we get different colored peppers?
Janice, thanks for the call. Kat, you touched on this earlier. Give us the whole story of these bell peppers, yeah, please.
This is a great question and definitely something that I am constantly explaining to people. So Janice, you are not the only one debating this with your family. So green peppers are unripe peppers. You can also buy or find unripe peppers of other colors. There are white unripe peppers and purple unripe peppers. So they'll have the same flavor as a green pepper. Green peppers can ripen into a variety of different colors. So there are green peppers that turn red. There are green peppers that turn orange. There are green peppers that turn yellow. Most purple peppers ripen to red, and most of the white peppers ripen to kind of a yellow or an orange. But that's a great question, and often exactly the question people have. So green peppers can be any sort of unripe pepper. So if you see a green pepper and you let it ripen, it can turn yellow or orange or red. Red is just the most common, and it's the most common in commercial greenhouses and gardening stores as well.
Janice, thanks for the call. We'll go to Martina now and Kashina. Martina, hello.
Hello. Thank you very much for taking my call. I'm so excited about this subject. I have lived on and off in New Mexico for several years. And when I first moved there, I did not understand the obsession with peppers. And they ask you if you want green or red on your dish. And, you know, however, over the years, I have developed the Pavlovian response to starting to have my mouth water if I think about green chilies. And so for those of us that are trying to cope without a fresh hatch green chili, you can get it canned, but look for hatch. And it comes from New Mexico, where pain is a flavor.
Martina, thanks for that. Pain is a flavor, Kat. What do you think?
I mean, I think that there are a lot of people that feel that way. There's definitely the hot pepper aficionados, even though Wisconsin is not necessarily hot pepper country. I did want to mention that if you are a big fan of those hatch chilies, you can grow several varieties up north. People will call them Anaheim or New Mex peppers. Those are the peppers that you're talking about. Those are what hatch chilies are, or that type of pepper. And there's a great variety that Johnny Select Seeds has called Highlander that is an early ripening variety. And so ours are red ripe right now. They also have, you know, you can harvest them green, but people often struggle to grow those southern chilies. So Highlander is a great variety if you are a former New Mexico resident, or you just love those chilies.
All right, something to grow next year, Martina. Thanks for the call. We're talking to Kat Becker from Cattail Organics. It's a Food Friday conversation about peppers. Back to your calls now. Russ is with us in Stoughton. Russ, hi.
Hi, great program. My favorite peppers are the bell green peppers. I often eat them raw and in all sorts of ways. But I have two questions for the host. Number one, she mentioned throwing green peppers on the grill to char. Did she cut out the tops and clean out all the seeds before she threw them on the grill? And my second question is, what is her favorite question for making stuffed green peppers with ground beef and rice and tomato sauce and et cetera?
All right, Russ, thanks for the call. So first of all, seeds and stem on when you're grilling those bell peppers, Kat?
So that's really personal preference. And, you know, we're kind of messy cooks, so I'm comfortable with a few seeds sticking on my peppers, which is what will happen if you grill them whole. For poblano peppers and some of the flatter green peppers, I don't bother to take the seeds or the stem off. You can always cut it off after, once they're a little bit cooled down, and you can pull the whole thing out and then chop them up. So for us, we always leave it in, but it's, again, personal preference. And then the second question was about my favorite recipe. Is that correct?
For the stuffed bell peppers, yeah.
Yeah, so while I did provide you with a recipe, and while I am a CSA farmer, so part of my job is to provide people with a lot of cooking information, I am not a good recipe follower myself. But we like to use brown rice because it holds up a little bit better to cooking. And so I'll just make some brown rice in my Instapot or on the stovetop. And then, you know, I have three kids and my husband, so we eat a lot of peppers. So we'll probably make, you know, a couple cups of rice, saute that with ground beef or venison, onion and garlic. If you have fresh basil, it's great in there as well. And then I will just use tomatoes, but you can use tomato sauce or tomato puree in there to make it kind of a thick paste, and then put that inside of the pepper. And then we like to top that with cheddar cheese. So that's my favorite recipe. But there's a lot of great, you know, one of the best things about the internet is that there's a lot of great food blogs with people that are better at writing proportions than I am. So if you look up some of those keywords, I'm sure you will find something wonderful.
Thanks for that call. In our last half a minute or so, Kat, what pepper that's growing right now are you most excited to be ready to harvest?
Oh, I think I mentioned the Carmen peppers. Mm-hmm. Those are a pretty amazing one. I also am doing a participatory breeding project with UW-Madison and some other farmers around the upper Midwest. And they're these little baby bell peppers that are a little bit bigger than a snack pepper and smaller than a bell pepper. And they're probably the best flavored peppers I've ever had. So those I have been very excited to try. They're a mid-sized pepper, but Carmen's, I mean, go to the farmer's market and buy Carmen peppers. They're sweet. They have a great texture. Children love them. Adults love them. They're the best multi-purpose pepper. This is Carmen pepper season. So
excellent.
That's what I'm enjoying right now.
Kat, thanks for joining us.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
That's Katrina Becker, owner of Cattail Organics. She joined us for a Food Friday conversation about peppers. Just had a flashback to my early cooking experiments making stuffed bell peppers. You got to cook the rice first. Otherwise, it's very unpleasantly crunchy. I learned the hard way.